Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Jimbo.
Why?
Jimbo.
No. No. No.
Well, welcome to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody, here on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, as always, Jason Staples, doing an update here. Should be releasing Thursday morning on the Jimbo Fisher situation. Unbelievable how this all has gone down. Going to fill in on a number of things on this episode, including all of the, or, well, not everything, but what I can share on the situation, and who Florida State is going to hire, a little bit of information about the details there in replacement of Jimbo Fisher, who will be leaving Florida State for Texas A&M, something I never imagined would happen. I mean, this was a very poorly kept secret that Texas A&M was going to come after Jimbo hard, that they were going to offer a lot of money and a lot of the bells and whistles that Fisher likes. But, actually offering those things and actually getting someone to take your job are two totally different things. And it's very evident that Jimbo Fisher badly overplayed his hand, tried to bluff at the table one more time. And it's one of those things, if you play a lot of poker and you get a reputation as someone who goes all in with bad cards, eventually somebody's going to call you on it. And Jimbo Fisher was called on this stuff this time. And every source I have at this point expects Jimbo Fisher to leave Florida State. The announcement could come as early as Thursday. I know Fisher wanted to coach through Saturday to make sure that he didn't have a losing record in his last year at Florida State, but I'm not sure that's tenable at this point. I expect an announcement to come Thursday. If the announcement comes Thursday, then other things are in play that I'll get into in a moment. But first things first, I want to thank the show's sponsor, Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville. Once again, Luis is not only a realtor, he is a professionally trained photographer and videographer, and someone who's going to make your house, if you list with him, look better than anything else that's out there online. He's somebody who other real estate agents have and do hire to get the best possible photography and videography. He gets clean, professional, smooth walkthrough video of any property that he does. In specific properties, he'll get drone footage of the property to make sure that when people are checking around, the first place they go to, these days, is they look online for a place. You want to make sure your place looks as good as possible. Lewis does a better job of that than anybody. Let him know you heard about him. If you're in the greater Jacksonville area and you have any real estate needs, contact Lewis. Information in the show notes. He'll make sure you get the best possible deal in real estate in the greater Jacksonville area. Let him know you heard about him from this podcast. Oh man, what a few days! You know, again, I talked on the last podcast. I hadn't really taken this seriously up until Sunday, when a few additional rumblings started. Started happening more from the Florida State side, and when I finally reached out to some of my best sources and found out, yeah, this is legitimate on Jimbo's side, that's when I really pushed for a lot more. And I've had these last few days have been interesting to try to follow along in terms of my phone just blowing up. I think everybody who has covered this situation is probably pretty exhausted right now. It's remarkable. But yeah, Jimbo Fisher, I think, again, tried to come to the table with this offer and tried to force some changes. Everything that that I understand, as I understand it, basically what he tried to do is he felt that, so last year when he came to the table with the LSU offer and he negotiated that that long-term deal with Florida State, which was poorly negotiated by Florida State, for what it's worth. And I know others out there have talked about this, so not much need for me to belabor that point, but I'll get to that in a moment when we start talking about contracts. But anyway, he, as a part of that, he negotiated his own deal, but he also pushed hard for additional commitment to resources, and promises were made about increasing the assistant pool, which, you know, his assistants, you know, the pay for his assistants when he eventually would make changes, having an increase on that, and then assurances that they would move forward quickly with a standalone football facility similar to what Clemson has and what University of Florida is about to break ground on, something else that McElwain really fought for at Florida. And a year later, from what I'm told, he felt like the facilities situation, that those promises hadn't, that basically feet had been dragged. Now, whether that's accurate or not is, you know, that's been bandied about a little bit behind the scenes. I think there's some accuracy to it, but he was not happy with that situation. And really, more than anything, what Fisher tried to do with this, as far as I've put together based on the sources that I've had, is Fisher tried to make a power play in terms of how he would have to go about getting things done. Fisher and Seminole Boosters president Andy Miller have never really had a good working relationship. Fisher's always hated him. And Miller really hasn't liked Jimbo. Jimbo is one of those guys. I mean, Jimbo's approach on this is to blame as much as anything. Jimbo has tried to force things through rather than negotiating things through. And that hasn't gone over well with well-established powers that be. And ultimately, Fisher tried to make a power play so that he could basically get whatever he wanted in the future, and that power play backfired. And that seems to be the best explanation for how things got to where they are. Fisher tried to basically use his good relationship with Thrasher, with Florida State President Thrasher, as assurance, and, you know, basically since he knew he had an unfireable contract, he tried to throw his weight around and basically get some restructuring in terms of the decision-making process so that he wouldn't have to deal with begging boosters or asking with all this stuff, but basically would have a Saban-esque, this needs to be done, I'm the dictator, do what I say kind of situation. And that all on the heels of a 5-6 season was not taken very well, understandably. And what's interesting is how that 5-6 season understood, was understood by various parties. I mean, those Jimbo was negotiating with were looking at it going, 5-6, you got no leverage, buddy. Jimbo's going, 5-6 shows what we're trying to coach against. We need more, you know, that shows that we, you know, I don't ever want this to happen again, so why wouldn't we put more resources on this? Which was, I think, exactly the wrong time and the wrong way to go about this. But again, understanding things from his side, what he was trying to do was, okay, you know, we struggled this year on some stuff, but what we really need, yeah, you know, facilities are not why this year happened, but we want to make sure that nothing like this year can ever happen in the future, so let's go ahead and push for every possible advantage we can, because we can't be one player behind. And again, that this is a situation where one of the sources that I have was talking about how, you know, Monk Bonasort was a good go-between between Jimbo Fisher and a lot of these powers that be, because Monk was the guy that, you know, could get things done, the sort of Luca Brasi who could get things done when when Jimbo wanted them to do it. And he could be someone that could go between Jimbo and some of these others that, that Jimbo had trouble getting along with. And with Monk being gone, also that meant that Jimbo didn't have the filter to tell him, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this at the moment. And yeah, that again, all has gone very, very, it all went sideways. One source was saying, you know, this hadn't, there was never any intention for this stuff to get public like this. And once it did, it got out of control, spun out of control quickly. And yeah, it's a bad situation. Florida State lost three recruits on Wednesday night. Players and recruits are frustrated, and this is all going to come to a resolution very quickly. Jimbo Fisher will not be the head coach at Florida State in 2018. Basically, again, going through the stuff that I had from my various sources, on Sunday night, Fisher met with Thrasher. On Monday night, Stan Wilcox was meeting with various powers that be, trying to get assurances from that what Jimbo wanted, most of what Jimbo wanted, could be done. But ultimately, all that stuff was too little, too late. Florida State was already vetting candidates. I mentioned on the last podcast that they had already contacted Willie Taggart, and they'd already begun the process of you know, taking care of what would need to happen if Jimbo left. As far as some other details, Willie Taggart, again, the current Oregon head coach, former USF head coach, is the prohibitive favorite to be the replacement for Jimbo Fisher. Basically, he and Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuente are the primary two people that that are under that have been vetted. There were basically three names that came up behind the scenes in terms of the decision making. I was told that that Stan Wilcox pushed for Charlie Strong as his primary person, but Thrasher and Board of Trustees President Edward Burr really prefer Willie Taggart instead. Strong has not been vetted. And in addition to this, there have been some others involved in the process who have pushed, who have been very big backers of Willie Taggart. For example, Derek Brooks is a big backer of Willie Taggart for the replacement. And there are some others. And among some of the, especially some of the old guard former players, who have some relationship with Taggart, they've been big on that. So yeah, there are, this is basically, as far as I understand, a done deal. Oregon responded to the interest from Florida State by offering Taggart a new contract a couple days ago. But that contract extension and raise has been on his desk for a little while, but Taggart will accept the Florida State offer immediately if as soon as it's made. He's not going to sign that Oregon contract extension until it's clear that the Florida State job would not be offered. So anyway, like I said, the other name I should mention, they did actually contact Scott Frost as well early in the process, and Scott Frost is already he's sealed and delivered to Nebraska. He said no thanks, wasn't interested. So like I said, the other three names were Fuente and Strong. Strong is actually not really being pursued. So really it boils down to Taggart versus Fuente. Once again, a few other details on that, and I'll spend a lot more time on who Willie Taggart is and what he brings to the table. There's a lot of pluses there. You know, Jim Harbaugh was the best man at Willie Taggart's wedding after Taggart had spent a lot of time as an offensive assistant for Harbaugh. He understands how to coach more than one style, which is, I think, a real plus. He's run more of a wide open spread option type thing with the quarterbacks that he's had in recent years. But with Florida State's personnel, it'll be interesting to see what he chooses to do, because he can do a number of things. Now, a few other details that have been passed along to me is that that Taggart met with Nike's Phil Knight on Wednesday morning, and received Knight's approval and blessing to depart if Florida State makes an acceptable offer. Since both schools are Nike schools and flagship schools for Nike, that basically clears his path. You certainly, as a coach, don't want to. People might ask, why would he go to Phil Knight for that approval? Well, Oregon is Knight's baby, and both schools are Nike schools, and this stuff matters. And so, you know, he got Knight's approval on that, and the path is really clear for him to go. So again, if Taggart winds up being the hire, I'm told he will bring either Jim Leavitt or go hard after Mike Elko, the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, for his defensive coordinator. I'm told that Ron Dugans would almost certainly be the wide receiver coach. So that would mean Florida State would have an elite wide receiver coach immediately. That's a definite upgrade there. The only current Florida State coach on staff that will be retained if Taggart takes over is Odell Higgins. Higgins will be at Florida State. He will be the defensive tackles coach regardless of who the head coach is. I'm pretty sure about saying that. But he will be the one coach on the current Florida State staff that stays. I was also informed, and I'm a bit surprised by this, that Damian Craig contacted Willie Taggart requesting consideration to be put on Taggart's staff if he does take over at Florida State as well, which would be interesting. I had fully expected Damian to go to Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher, but my impression, and talking about this with one of my sources, is that perhaps the situation is where Damian feels that by moving around so much in the last few years, going from a Florida State assistant to then an Auburn assistant, but that had a higher title in name only, then to LSU, and then out from LSU, and then back to Florida State as a QC person, that all of that stuff basically makes him a little bit of damaged goods in terms of moving up at this point. And Damian doesn't just want to be basically a designated recruiter forever. He wants to get some stability and try to move up in the world and in the coaching world. And that this would potentially give him an opportunity to do that. I was told that Taggart has not made a decision on whether he would hire a separate offensive coordinator or take that role himself. Either way, he has his own specific principles that he wants to work with on offense. So in that regard, it's less of a concern. But again, as of mid-afternoon on Wednesday, Taggart basically was in. I know, again, on Wednesday night, that is between about 9 o'clock and roughly 10:30, somewhere in that window, Taggart had a call with the powers that be at Florida State. Talked with specifically with Stan Wilcox on Wednesday night, and you know they're basically this is what I would do. This is what we need, et cetera. That kind of discussion, and also more logistical stuff in terms of what would need to happen. Basically, from what I understand, if you know, whenever Jimbo does resign at Florida State, Taggart is they're expecting Taggart to fly out and meet in person to discuss what his vision and plan for the program would be, and that would happen no later than Monday or Tuesday. If Jimbo steps down on Thursday, as many expect at this point, then that could happen even before that. And assuming that meeting goes well, I expect a contract to be executed and signed and everything and announced by very early next week. And again, that's where things go. As far as details on that, the details that I got were that Taggart would get a 5-year deal in the low $4 million range with annual escalators and incentives built in as well. So that would be somewhere around a 5-year, roughly 20, let's say 5-year, 21 or so million dollar base package with some escalators built in annually. And then again, incentives built in. And this gets to something that, I do want to take a minute to discuss. I mean, I mentioned on the Tuesday podcast that I talked to a search advisory firm head, and this person and I wound up talking a little bit about contracts. And you know, the thing that I've become increasingly fixated on in terms of how these contracts should be structured. You know, from the athletic director side or from the university side, it's nonsense for universities to have these giant buyouts that make coaches unfireable. And that's where, you know, Jimbo Fisher's $40 million buyout, if Florida State fires him, is, you know, that's not a good way to write a contract. And, you know, what coaches have done is they've learned that they can leverage these universities' fear of losing them and fear of getting a new coach into these giant buyouts early on, so that if you fire a coach, you have to pay $7, $8, $10 million, so that, you know, you've fired two coaches and you're paying three coaches down the line rather than just paying one. My view on this is that it's much better policy for universities to just pay more up front and say, how much more do we have to pay you? You know, would an extra million a year, extra million and a half a year be, you know, even if you have to pay a guy $2 extra million a year to reduce the buyout by, you know, $8 million or whatever, if you have to fire the guy, is worth it. Because if you still have retained that person's employment after 4 years, it all evens out. And if you've still wanted that person to be your coach, it means that the job's getting done. But it's nonsense to structure a contract to where if you need to actually make a change because the person's not getting the job done, you can't actually make a change, or the change you're going to end up paying to make the change. That to me, universities need to do whatever is possible to avoid that situation. And again, you pay more up front to avoid that. Okay, fine. We'll pay you $7 million a year so that we don't have any buyout on you. If you keep doing your job, you're going to be paid absurd numbers. But if you don't do your job, well, you know, you got paid absurd numbers as long as you were here. That's the kind of approach that they need to take. In any case, there have been just so many different meetings. I don't know all the details on different things, but you know, I was told that after the coaches show last night, which was a mess on its own, due to a person getting pushed around, Mike from Tallahassee, I believe, getting pushed around after asking a reasonable question, that Jimbo had a meeting with Bobby Bowden, which again, as I understand it, was a meeting out of respect, letting him know that he's leaving. So that's where that ends up. So there's been a lot of movement on this, and as far as I understand, it's basically over. I expect Willie Taggart to be the hire. There's going to be, you know, again, if the reports that I understand, you know, are correct. And one other person, by the way, that would also come in with Willie Taggart is his director of recruiting operations, David Kelly, would almost certainly take over well, actually would take over that role at Florida State. There's no almost certainly that, as I understand it, he would be coming in with Willie Taggart as well, and a few others from Taggart's staff. But and I haven't been told this. I don't have, you know, this is just a guess. The others are things that sources passed along as these are who Willie would bring in. I do expect that Mario Cristobal would be brought in as well as the offensive line coach with Taggart, which would also mean just a ridiculous recruiting situation at Florida State. So I've gotten so many questions. I'm going to go ahead and try to address some of these questions. And I'm sorry, I've gotten so much via social media, all sorts of different ways over the past few days that there's no way I can answer all these questions. But yeah, so a lot of things in terms of the kinds of what staff could be expected with different people and all this. And again, I should also mention, I said on a previous podcast that, you know, Taggart would not have been my first choice, and he wouldn't have been. Jeff Brohm would have been the first my first choice had I been the powers that be at Florida State. Really, and I mentioned also that the search firm person said Taggart wouldn't have been in his top 25. Now, I have a higher view of Taggart than the search firm had. Taggart would have been about fourth or fifth on my list. I would have gone something like Jeff Brohm, Justin Fuente, Scott Frost, and then Matt Campbell or Willie Taggart right in there. That would have been the five that I probably would have considered. But I have to say, with who I've heard Taggart is going to be bringing with him to Tallahassee in terms of staff, that does move him up the list a good bit. So I should mention that as well. Now, as far as some other stuff, getting into these questions, I was asked, why would Taggart be a good hire? Is it just the Florida ties? And I think that's a good question. My response to that is that, well, no, he has Florida ties, but he's also got a reputation as an excellent recruiter, a very hard worker and energetic and young on the recruiting trail. He's a flexible coach who has different offensive systems, the same system, but different iterations of it. So running the Harbaugh approach, which he used at Western Kentucky and early on at USF, and then when he got Quentin Flowers, he built an offense around Flowers, which is a spread option offense. You know, he's won different ways, and he's a flexible coach in that regard. He's got excellent assistant contacts and an excellent network with assistants throughout the Southeast, and tapping into the Harbaugh network as well. Very likable, very liked by a number of Florida State people. You know, again, good relationship with Tony Dungy and others from the Tampa area, would recruit the Tampa area like no one else. Terrific fundraiser, handles politics well. A lot of similarities in those things to somebody like a Dabo Swinney. So, you know, that, by the way, you know, that's really what you're hoping you get with Willie Taggart, is you're hoping you get basically a Dabo Swinney who's going to be able to be a young, energetic head coach who's going to be able to recruit, be an excellent fundraiser and program builder while having contacts to great assistants and all of this other stuff. That's what you're hoping. Now, you know, on the downside, the floor there is probably something like Ron Zook, where you have a great recruiter who isn't Jeff Brohm is an offensive X's and O's genius. And my impression is that Taggart is not that. But again, you're going for something a little different than that with this hire. You're going for something a little bit more like a Dabo Swinney than you are anything else. And I say that I think Dabo's a lot smarter X's and O's wise and as a coaching mind than a lot of people do. A lot of people think he's just a goofball who has hired people to cover for his weaknesses. And one thing I'll say about Dabo is he's a lot smarter than people think, and he's humble enough to surround himself with as good of surrounding cast as he can. And my impression is that Taggart would be that kind of coach. I've gotten a number of people have asked, you know, who would he keep? I've already addressed that. Odell is of the current Florida State staff. Odell is the one guy he would keep. And And I would be interested to see what he would do with Craig, if Craig does want in, as I'm told he would. So let's see. Other questions, and there's a lot of them. Okay, so we have, assuming Jimbo is gone and Taggart is the guy, do you think Taggart can recruit assistants as well as he can players, like Ansley and or Scherer? Yes, I mean, again, that's one of the big pluses about Taggart as a head coach, is that there would be a lot of people that would want, I mean, he has a reputation as someone that people would want to work with. So I think he could do very well recruiting excellent assistants to Florida State. Now, it's a different network, so I don't think it would be Ansley or Scherer that would be on his staff, but he would get some excellent assistants from everything I'm told. Another question. Do you think FSU would pump the brakes a little on Taggart and at least give Fuente and Brohm a closer look? I don't think so. Fuente is the backup plan. Taggart is the only way that Taggart is not the head coach at Florida State is if something goes wrong in the face-to-face meeting, which I don't expect to happen. So I think Taggart is going to be the next coach at Florida State. Now, the next question is it true that if Taggart takes the job, that Justin Fields would potentially visit Florida State and consider? Every indication of that is yes, that Fields is listening to Dan Mullen at Florida and has indicated that depending on what happens at Florida State, he may be willing to listen there as well. He's aware of the situation. And I tell you what, if hiring Willie Taggart means you get Justin Fields, then you go ahead and hire that guy, because that's an immediate difference maker, particularly in the kind of offense that Taggart is almost certainly going to run at Florida State. So, I don't expect Florida State to land Fields, but there may be a possibility, at least with Taggart. And I do think that Taggart has a good enough recruiting class going at Oregon, a number of guys that would flip to Florida State, and a number of guys that were considering Florida State that Taggart also has good relationships with, and you know, his ability to retain a number of these players in the current Florida State recruiting class. I think Taggart would be able to probably salvage the Florida State recruiting class to be top eight, probably at worst, and might be able to keep even the 2018 class as a top five class. He's a good enough recruiter, and with some of the staffers that he'd be bringing in, that would be a real possibility. I was asked also to explain why flipping from Georgia and Kirby Smart and going to Florida or Florida State with Mullen or Taggart would be a good move for Fields. And the real question here, the real issue here is Kirby Smart is a defensive coach. And there's a lot of truth to the problem that defensive coaches have in that as soon as your offensive coordinator leaves and you're a defensive coach, now you have a new offense. You have to find another offensive coordinator that's good enough. And Jim Chaney has not been at one place for very long at any point in his career, the current offensive coordinator for Georgia. So, you know, who knows how long Jim Chaney's going to be at Georgia? Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years. And suddenly you get a good offensive coordinator tends to get snatched up and leave somewhere else, maybe as a head coach. And then all of a sudden, Fields is in his second or third offense by his fourth year, if he lasts 4 years. He's probably a three-and-done kid. But third year, he's in his second offense, and, you know, that makes things a lot more difficult than if you have an offensive-minded head coach. So another question. Do I think Taggart could manage the egos of the 4- and 5-star recruits that he'll inherit and recruit? I don't think that's something that will be a problem. I think Taggart is every indication is that he would be able to discipline and handle that kind of situation. I also think that'll actually be easier for Taggart and the new staff than it has been for Jimbo Fisher. It's one of the things that I talked about in a prior podcast is. One of the reasons that it's so difficult for coaches to maintain long term, as opposed to being a change agent, which, you know, this has been a point of discussion among various quarters of the Florida State media and, you know, fans for a while. One of the reasons that's more difficult, it's not so much that your message gets stale. Messages don't really get stale with players who are, you know, your roster turns over almost completely every 4 years. And really, every 3 years, the roster's more than 80% different. So messages really don't get stale because you're dealing with new kids. But the real issue is early on when you take over, you can be difficult. You can be really hard, and you can basically be my way or the highway with kids in a way that it's harder to do once they're your kids that you recruited, and you've got different relationships and different commitments there. When you come in, you know, if Willie Taggart comes in and inherits a DeAndre Francois and Nooney Murray and a number of these other players who have been ringleaders in bad leadership, you inherit those guys and you don't have any commitment to them. You don't have any reason not to just sit them, not to just go ahead and play your guy over them, the guy that you brought in as a freshman, because you can afford to lose that first year. Yeah, you know what? Screw it. Well, you know, you're gonna submarine the way that we do things. Then you know what? We'll lose without you. We'll try to win without you, but you know what? I have no pressing need to try to save things by playing people who aren't going to do things my way. Once you get to a point where you've been around a while and you're the person who recruited those people, that's much harder to do, especially if you don't have a whole lot of depth. If a guy knows that you can't bench him, if Nooney Murray knows that you bench me, you're playing a walk-on or a true freshman, I'm going to do what I want. If DeAndre Francois knows... You bench me, you're playing a true freshman, he can do what he wants. Gosh. So that's the thing that changes a little bit. And I don't think that this staff will have any difficulty addressing some of those things. I mean, you bring in a Ron Dugans, who, you know, I've known Ron for 17 years now. And Ron will get people to do what he asks them to do. They're going to do what he tells them. You bring in a Mario Cristobal, who was at... You know, he's got experience coaching under Saban at Alabama. You know, these people have coached difficult talent before, and they can handle that. You know, Jim Leavitt will have no difficulty getting his defense to play hard, nor would Mike Elko if he ended up being the guy. So at the end of the day, I don't think that's an issue. Taggart, that's the least of my concerns there. So those are positives. Let's see. Next question. What are the odds that Lane Kiffin is offered? I would say just maybe a tick above zero. Kiffin is not going to be the next Florida State head coach. Just not going to happen. yeah. So... let's see. Other questions. Is Ansley still an option at defense coordinator if Taggart is the next head coach? Or will the next defensive coordinator have my eyes wider than Ansley? I would say, again, I've already addressed this to some degree. Your eyes will be wider. He's going to bring in a bigger name than that would be. Another question about Lane Kiffin. Kiffin wasn't on your coaching list. Do you think he's a bad coach? Too many off-the-field red flags? May not bring strong assistance or bad for FSU. He's... got Florida ties, great recruiter, flexible coach, one different running different systems, likable to recruits, fundraising, handling politics. Well, my negatives there. First of all, I think it's very important that as a program, when you hire a coach, you have to understand the ethos of your program in terms of the identity, the kind of program that you are. And I think this is something, all you have to do is look at Florida and Miami as examples of this. If you hire a Jim McElwain to be your head coach in Gainesville, it's not going to work very well. You need a different kind of personality for that kind of program. And you need someone who's going to run a different kind of system than what he does. It just doesn't work in like that kind of coach, that personality can work some places and not others. If you're Miami, Al Golden doesn't fit the Miami personality. You have to have a guy who can embrace what it is to be a Cane. You have to know, like, this guy kind of fits. He's a comfortable fit in the ethos of the program. With Lane Kiffin, he does not fit with what Florida State is. He just doesn't. He'd be actually much better fit in Gainesville. That's the kind of coach, personality wise, that would be much more of that brash kind of fit in Gainesville. And actually, that's another thing where Taggart is one of those guys that, and I think Brohm would have been as well, one of those guys that would have fit much better in Tallahassee. Or would, in Taggart's case, will fit better in Tallahassee. So, yeah, that's again, you have to know the personality of your program and hire to that as much as to anything else. Was asked, is there any reason Stanford offensive coordinator Mike Bloomgren isn't on the list? Well, it's because, you know, because the question goes on to say Tallahassee native and former assistant at FSU. Yeah, Tallahassee native and former assistant at FSU, but he doesn't have the Southeastern coaching network in the same way. He's got no experience as a head coach. He doesn't even call the plays as an offensive coordinator where he's at. So, yeah, not a viable candidate compared to someone who's turned around two programs, say, like what Willie Taggart has, built two programs from scratch, and has extensive assistant networks. You're going to prefer that. So, I think that'll do it for the questions that... I was also asked, you know, how is Willie Taggart with the media? I think anything will be seen as a better situation for local media, but maybe more coverage of practices. I'm not sure how much more coverage of practices you're going to get, but definitely a much friendlier media persona, not off of the Belichick Saban tree in that regard. But I don't think you're also going to get a clown like what you get, say, with the Harbaugh, you know, with Harbaugh, even though he is from the Harbaugh tree. So in any case, to sum it all up, I fully expect Willie Taggart to take the Florida State job. The path is clear for that. Still has to be a face-to-face meeting to get all of that stuff done. We'll be looking at a 5-year deal, low $4 million range, and expect him to bring either Jim Leavitt at defensive coordinator or Mike Elko. Try to get Mike Elko from Notre Dame. Likely brings Ron Dugans with him, bringing Ron Dugans actually from Miami, attracting Ron Dugans to coach with him, would keep Odell Higgins on the staff, and a possibility that Damian Craig could also be included, depending on how he decides to do his offensive staff. So, a lot of stuff there. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get this one out. But the bottom line is Fisher badly overplayed his hand. And, you know, the general rule of thumb, you play a stupid game, you win a stupid prize. And that's sort of where Fisher is. He did not really fully understand. You know, there was some hubris here. And he didn't understand the hand that he had. Didn't understand the lack of leverage that he had in some of this stuff. Tried to go back to the table too many times. And, you know, and again, as one of the sources that I talked to at Florida State said, well, you know, when you got one weapon, you keep going back to it. Well, he had that weapon. He went back to it one too many times. And this time, the people he was trying to control fought back and didn't work real well. So Jimbo Fisher gonna be moving on to Texas A&M by, according to basically every source I've got. Willie Taggart, the prohibitive favorite to be the next head coach at Florida State. That's going to lead to a lot of fresh coverage and a lot of discussion about what Florida State can expect, and a lot of recruiting talk here in the next couple weeks. I'm not going to break down in this podcast the ULM game. I'll wait until a little bit later. I might do another show to release on Friday. For that, but obviously that's a whole lot less important right now than the future of the program. So we'll go ahead and wrap it here. Once again, this show, thanks to the sponsor, Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. You want to hire the realtor who fertilized FSU into his Auburn neighbor's yard a few years ago after the national championship win. And this is the kind of person you want to support. I'm just saying. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
I made this.